What's up, you guys? Sean Ross at FightfulSelect.com. It's the Backstage Report coming at you on a Sunday. How about that? On a Sunday. We've been doing that a lot lately. A couple times I've moved up the Fightful Wrestling Weekly to Monday. I'm trying to see what fits best, you know? When the Fightful Wrestling Weekly gets posted, a lot of that information is kind of out there into the world, so trying to see what works best in this new wrestling landscape. So I want to thank you guys for bearing with me. And quite frankly, you all got access to a story way earlier than I had anticipated. The banned terms story I had planned on putting out next week, but when we updated our site, that did not get rescheduled. So let's go ahead and get into it. I've verified this several times over the last year, but last year, WrestleMania weekend, WWE had issued a series of guidelines and banned terms that they did not want used by their partners or anybody that was sort of subcontracted by those sponsors that did like giveaways or contests or anything like that. And we got that list of terms. There were social media guidelines that instructed associated accounts to not reply to fans in the comments, not to speculate on rumors or future storylines, and to always present WWE talent in a positive light, and WWE themselves. Not that crazy. If you're doing social media work and you're doing it for WWE with WWE, I don't think this is that much of a surprise. I know a lot of people will be like, oh, the empire taking control, yada, yada. This is just common sense. If somebody's doing work with me, their presenting sponsor, I don't want them to bury me. The term dirt sheets was used, as well as be sensitive of the language used and how it may be interpreted by dirt sheets. Specifically, it was specified that sports entertainment and superstars were preferred over wrestling and wrestlers, which is also not much of a surprise. Exceptions were made when quoting superstars or executives. So if Triple H is out there saying, oh, we've got the best wrestlers in the world, it was okay for them to tweet that because they're directly quoting Triple H. They also said, quote, do not use messaging that enables or encourages fans to speak negatively about the product and always present WWE and talent in a positive light. Again, not crazy. Now the terms. Blood. Choke. Belt, strap, diva, headshot, trauma, kayfabe, mofos, house show, DQ, the anti-diva, spinal injuries, victim, violence or violent, wrestling, wrestlers, WWF, wife beater, curb stomp, need to push, to be over, babyface, heel, jobbing, jobber, card, strangle, kill, and murder. I think that if most of you are listening to this, you understand it. Strangle, kill, murder, you don't want that type of stuff out there. Victim, that is portrayed in a particular way. Diva, they have moved away from that term. Belt and strap, that's a weird Vince-ism. Kayfabe, card, babyface, heel, to be over, needs a push, etc. like that. You don't want a lot of stuff out of kayfabe, at least from your partners in that sense. And of course, there are some more Vince-ism like wrestling and wrestlers, etc. But then, you know, there's curb stomp, which is widely associated with that American History X film. So you don't really want people thinking of that and what type of memories that might incur when they're talking about WWE pro wrestling. So there were some other simple guidelines, such as how to reduce hashtags on Facebook, or to reduce hashtags on Facebook, avoiding words that trigger spam labels from algorithms, not using talent names that the brand didn't have endorsement rights to, pedigree, spear, smell-a-la-la, people's eyebrow. Those are some of them that they were instructed to not use. But yeah, that story was supposed to go up next week. You all got it early. Ah, enjoy. Hurt Business. So if you guys were shocked or unhappy about the split of the Hurt Business, you were not alone. According to WWE sources, so were members of the actual group. Fightful was told that Vince McMahon alone made the decision to split up Hurt Business, and Hurt Business have been pretty vocal online. You saw Shelton Benjamin's tweet. You saw MVP putting out there and establishing Baron Corbin is not in this goddamn group. He didn't say goddamn. I do that to make the story better. My apologies. but Vince made the call, and we're told that he was set in his ways to fracture the group, even after MVP and Bobby Lashley were vocal about not being in support of the move. I was told that MVP and Bobby Lashley both met with Vince McMahon about the idea, but Vince dug his heels in even more. And I don't think it's a surprise. This was also a blow to morale. You got a bunch of acts, varying degrees of success, especially before the Hurt Business was put together. None of these people were really doing anything. And they got super over in this landscape as a team, and they got split up. Now, they could always put them back together, et cetera, but come on, man. Come on, man. Why are you doing this? Wrestlers aren't happy. I was told MVP specifically was not very happy. Oh, we got even more WWE news. The meeting with Triple H and NXT talent. I reached out to several wrestlers and members of the staff who vehemently denied that Triple H said anything resembling that they were bullied off Wednesday nights as reported. Now, there was a pre-show meeting where Triple H sort of rallied the troops, explained the move to Tuesday nights, explained the Peacock changes and all that. And I was told it was more focused on that. And Triple H even said that he hopes more people focus on the show than the viewership now that that change is happening. But everybody that I spoke to the tune of a half a dozen people, said no, there was no mention of the word bully whatsoever. It was really straightforward. Now, Dave Meltzer did correct his original recounting on Twitter, noting that a couple people reached out to him to say that line didn't happen. But, yeah, I was told that it was far less focused on AEW and that, and more focused on the heights that NXT can achieve, wanting to get back there, the ability of an expanded audience due to the Peacock relationship and people discovering it there. But quite frankly, all due respect to Peacock and WWE Network, if people ain't watching on USA, I don't think they're going to go, oh, hey, look, we're on Peacock. Or they're on Peacock. Let me tune in. But good for them. I think it'll benefit them. I think they'll see more of a viewership growth than AEW does. NXT, speaking of, I spoke to national champion Gable Stevenson, who went to the Olympic trials this past week. And he let us know that he's spoken with several people involved in WWE, from Paul Heyman to Triple H to Gerald Briscoe in the past, and said that right now things are a waiting game and he's largely focused on the Olympics, but he wants to wrestle in WWE, specifically WWE. He said, you know, I know NXT's emerging, I know that AEW's doing good stuff, but I want to pursue WWE, I want to be on WrestleMania, I want to do all that. He was excited for Bad Bunny at WrestleMania, you love to see it. He also said that's not the only possible career path for him. He's considering giving football a shot, pointed to Brock Lesnar taking that path, only he would take it much younger. When I asked about the potential of competing in MMA, he clarified to Fightful that he is also open to competing in the Octagon. So that is some really, really great news. Oh man, we've heard of some tentative NXT TakeOver plans. It'll be taking place in Orlando as opposed to Tampa with the other festivities. And that there will be limited fans allowed, but it won't be like a ticketed event. It's the same method as NXT TV has allowed in the past. There will be two nights of takeover filming instead of one mass filming. And there will be subject to free COVID testing if you are going to be there. But it is sort of a preferred audience type of thing. Thunderdome. They're finishing up at the Thunderdome in Tropicana. And they've switched to a new venue, or they're going to. Fightful spoke to several wrestlers who've competed at the Thunderdome about the ambient noise that was piped into the venue, and they confirmed that they can hear the noise piped in, so they are not just reacting to pure silence or anything like that. Titus O'Neil's going into the Hall of Fame, and we had learned about this last week. It still had not been officially announced as of the time that this is releasing, but they filmed it. You guys saw it. And he's set to be inducted as the Warrior Award recipient. The Hall of Fame and WrestleMania are based around the city of Tampa, in which he's been heavily involved with in a charitable sense throughout his life. He also played football for the Tampa Bay Storm in 06 and wrestled for FCW there, I think, for a couple of years. But he hasn't been wrestling lately. He last wrestled back in November. Now, I had a lot of people saying, well, what about Shad? What about Shad? Understandably. Shad Gaspar does deserve that award. Hopefully he'll get it. But from what I understand, this was kind of a plan a year ago before Shad Gaspar passed away, that they wanted to put Titus in the Hall of Fame as a Warrior Award recipient last year, and that this was not a slight on Shad Gaspar. It was O'Neill's connection to the Tampa community that played such a big role in the timing of the past 2 years. It's just, I don't even think they got far enough to announce it. I mean, we're talking like right now, little peek right here. I'm filming this on Friday evening. They filmed the ceremony already. It runs Tuesday. They haven't announced him as a Warrior Award recipient yet. So I would imagine they didn't get far enough last year. And then unfortunately in May, what happened to Shad Gaspard happened to Shad Gaspard. I'm sure WWE will honor him eventually. They better, is all I have to say. They better. Impact Wrestling, their women's division, seems like it's getting stronger and stronger. Now, they're going to have some turnover, or some overturn, some turnover here pretty soon. We reported recently that Taylor Wilde is on her way back to the company after being stuck outside the States. But she's far from it. We are told that NXT veteran Rachel Ellering was also at the most recent set of Impact tapings. She had worked a couple of dates for AEW back in July, but there was not a deal signed there. She wrestled for NXT heavily for a four-month period in 2019 before an injury sidelined her, and I don't think she ever returned before her release. She wrestled a huge portion of the Impact roster already. Tennille, Kimberly, Deonna, Kiera Hogan, Jessica Havoc, Jordan Grace, Nevaeh, Sue Young, all in the past. So this is somebody who has no real large television exposure. She could be homegrown, quote-unquote. Has been trained to work TV in NXT, has gotten a bunch of seasoning, and has worked with so much of the roster. I think this is a really, really good signing for them. It's somebody that they and Impact can put their stamp on, and I'm sure she'll do great things. I really, really like this signing. If you guys know me, I like merchandise. I like learning about merchandise. I don't like wrestling merchandise. I like wrestling figures, stuff like that. A&E has a show coming up. It is so hard for me to not say AEW when I say A&E. But they've got a new show coming up that has biographies, or they have a new series coming up, biographies, memorabilia hunt show. I asked Curt Hawkins, like, why didn't they use you and Cardona for this? And he said, well, they kind of did. He did sizzle reels for it. Now, eventually that hosting role went to AJ Francis. WWE had been high on Francis as a host for quite a while. They had been in consideration for him hosting Raw Underground at one point before that was not done, and they didn't end up doing the stuff with Cardona and or Myers, or maybe just Myers, I guess. And they ended up getting released, but I spoke to Myers for an interview, and he told me that Tommy Dreamer reached out to him within a week of his firing to bring him into Impact, and he made the hard sell. And then he made one to our audience, but it seems like Vince McMahon liked him an awful lot. Now, I know that some of you might look at the losing streak and say, oh, really? Really? Well, apparently, because Myers told me that Vince McMahon handpicked him from a list of talent to bring back in 2016 during the brand split. And not only that, when Myers got injured in 2018, Vince McMahon had Mark Carano reach out to him and say, hey, get him in here to produce. Also mentioned, after the 2016 brand split, he was handpicked off of a name of available talent. However, Myers told me that he wasn't informed of his WrestleMania moment a couple of years ago until just a few days prior to WrestleMania. I know a lot of us were like, what are they doing with the tag team titles at WrestleMania, and the ingredients there were the Revival, who had just asked for their release 2 months prior, being given the tag titles and defending them against a team that had not won because Curt Hawkins was riding a massive losing streak. But he said that even if he doesn't wrestle for WWE again, he always has that moment with his best friend in front of his loved ones at MetLife Stadium. You could not ask for a more perfect moment than that. I mean, I guess you could ask for more, but that's a pretty ideal situation, right? Around the area that you grew up in, he's a Jets fan. So it's in the Jets Stadium. Jeez, man. What a fantastic WrestleMania moment he got. Very happy for him. He's a good dude, too, so that makes me happy. We unfortunately have a bunch of injuries to update, but hey, it's not all bad. Actually, there's a lot of good news here, so I guess it's not so bad. But let's get the bad news out of the way first. Wild Boar, we added into our injury report. We had unfortunately left him off. He had injured his ACL, member of NXT UK. Curt Stallion, who had a really good run on 205 Live, has fractured his wrist. He had surgery set on March 24th. Eric Young, in the middle of a hot run, injured his ACL in March. He is out 6 to 9 months. Get well soon, Eric Young. A great fella is Eric Young. But Faye Jackson dislocated her elbow and subsequently announced her retirement. Now, I've not interacted much with Faye Jackson. We have a whole lot of mutual friends, a ton. So, I mean, we've had definitely some people that know each other, and I hear such wonderful, glowing things about her. I enjoy her work. She has a really good vision as far as entertaining goes and doing cool things and getting buzz and attention in such a great way. So, unfortunately, I never got to do any work with her. I haven't interviewed her. Maybe I can. Maybe she'll still be interested in that. But all the best to Faye Jackson. And thank you to what she did for wrestling and the bumps that she took. And there's a lot of positivity surrounding Faye Jackson in pro wrestling. So, bummed to hear that. Bummed to hear that, but you know what? If somebody decides they want to step away, maybe it's time to step away. And if she ever wants to come back, I'm sure there's a market for Faye Jackson in the future. Bless that woman. Hope that she's feeling better soon. Well, it seems like Charlotte's feeling better. She has been cleared, according to reports, according to her, I believe. Tucker and Eric of the Viking Raiders. Eric is of the Viking Raiders. Tucker is not. They are both in the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, which airs on SmackDown. They have not been used in months. Eric on paternity leave, so to speak. Don't know why Tucker hadn't been there. Over in AEW, Chris Statlander returned after missing since June. Since June with a torn ACL, she was back. She looked great, hit an amazing Michinoku driver off the apron through a table. But we'd also missed Trent since mid-December. He's back in action. Well, he's back. I don't know if he's back in action. But he had been out for over 3.5 months. Glad to see him back. That company needs the best friends. They are such a fantastic act. So glad to see him back. Lady Frost, we had mentioned that she pulled from bookings and was injured. I can't remember specifically what that injury was. But she's back, by the way. She's booked for WrestleMania weekend shows. That's great to see. She was on a good run there because I think it was in October, November, December. She had done The Masked Wrestler. Then she did a couple of AEW appearances. Then she did Real Hot Girl Shit in January, I want to say it was. So she was starting to increase her profile even more, and she looks like $1 million. Like her a lot. So she's actually appeared on Raw before she faced Asuka, but glad to see her back. Contract news, no new contracts to put out, but we had Ray Horace's contract listed as a minimum through March 21 because he had signed a multi-year deal, but no update on him. Haven't heard anything else. I like to do a little housekeeping on here. I mentioned wrestling transactions. I'll update you guys on some Fightful transactions as well. So, we are doing a post-NXT show every Tuesday. Alex Palowski's Sour Graps NXT review. Now, If it something doesn't need to be negative, he won't be negative about it, but it will be an Alex Pawlowski solo show. I think that man has deserved it. I think he has earned it. I think he's done such a great job over here on Fightful Select, and that will continue. Tuesday night, he's going to do the NXT post show free on Fightful.com, and then that will lead right into his Fightful Select Raw review. I am so excited for him. He has done such incredible work for us, and he has been here since the beginning. It is me, Jimmy, him, and Ryan Cook, who has never appeared on screen for us since the beginning. So I am so excited for that. I will be heading up the AEW post show on Wednesdays now. I am definitely joined by Robert DeFelice every week. Alex Pawlowski says he'll be there more often than not. I didn't want to take a booking from Alex. I wanted to give him more if he so chose. And I like to see if people value their time or value the work or the money. Alex is like, I'll take the money. I love it. So please support that show on Tuesday nights. Quite frankly, if we make one penny off of that show, it's a massive success to me. I just want to give Alex another platform to share what he does. But the AEW post show will be on at 10:10 Eastern. Now, we are not waiting until 10:30 anymore. We don't have to catch up on the NXT and AEW show. Also, Denise Salcedo is joining us even more than before. You may have heard her mention in the past she's never been on a Fightful Post pay-per-view show. That's because she would do them on her own channel, and we didn't want to inhibit that growth. She was making more money off that channel than she was doing what we're doing. Not anymore. We locked her down. I wanted to get her on those pay-per-view shows full-time, so she will be joining us after every WWE pay-per-view, every single one of them. She will also be joining Jeremy Lambert after NXT pay-per-views. Now, if you guys watch those, you know that I'm not on those. I am on the Triple H post-show media calls, so Denise will be joining those as well. I do the Big Four Impact pay-per-views every year, Slammiversary, Rebellion, Hard to Kill, and Bound for Glory. I do those with Steven Jensen. She's joining those. And how about this? If you're an Impact fan, you're in luck. Not only do you get the Weekender with Steven Jensen on Select, Denise Salcedo will be hosting post shows for the monthly Impact specials as well. So like Sacrifice and Hardcore Justice and all that stuff, she's going to be doing that as well. This starts, I think, late. I think it starts after WrestleMania. She's joining the NXT Stand and Deliver Night 2 coverage. But then after WrestleMania, she's going to start joining those. I'm so excited. Having Denise as a part of our Fightful family is very important to me. She is family to us. I never thought I'd say that about people that I worked with. But by God, here we are. And so are you guys. Thank you. And while we're here, Fightful launched a magazine. The first edition is out. It is digital only for the first magazine. This is because we wanted a proof of concept. We wanted to show that we can do it. Now we can print it, all that good stuff. It will be bi-monthly as far as I know. We brought back a lot of names from Fightful's past for this as well. Showdown Joe Ferraro, Brandon Howard Thurston, Alex Pawlowski wrote his first article in I think 2 or 3 years. And then we've got some of the new blood. We've got Molly Bell. We've got Taylor Hendricks. I did some stuff in there. We do a mailbag as well. Joe Hulbert's incredible writing was also featured in there. But that's not it. Jimmy did a story about how he acquired the 8-inch Sergeant Slaughter LJN prototype and how they happened. There's a look back on pro wrestling for the NES. There's an archived interview with Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. A Where Are They Now at the Fabulous Rougeau Brothers. Showdown Joe again took a look at George St. Pierre. There's so much in this, and it was not something that I wanted to do. I don't feel like I'm bad for admitting that. I did not look at 2021 and say, you know what, we need to do a magazine. We want to do a magazine. In fact, when Jimmy told me, I said, no, I don't want to do this. I don't think it's a good idea, but you know what? When I'm given an assignment, I'm going to make it work. I'm going to make it good, and I think we've got some really good stuff. I hit up some really good people that are going to be a part of this, And I want to thank Shandy Pace, a new employee that Jimmy has brought on. She has done some incredible hard work there. I want to thank Melissa and Lindsay as well. When I saw the magazine finished, I was like, okay. And I was told originally, hey, this won't take up much of your time. It did take up quite a bit of my time. But when I saw all the work that other people put into it as well, I was like, okay, there's a lot of people putting in a lot of work on this, and it looks badass. It looks incredible. And, you know, I don't want to negate saying, you know, I work with two other outlets, WrestleTalk and ITR, who both have magazines and both have great magazines. And WrestleTalk magazine, I write for, and I want to continue to write for. So I was able to retain the green light for those as well, because that was very important for me. And I didn't really want to step on their toes, to be quite honest with you, because I like those people a lot. But it's a new concept, and goddamn did they pull off that concept. And by they, I mean the team that I mentioned and the writers that we were able to get. And it's a great-looking magazine. I'm going to devote even more time to it now. And Jimmy, it's one of those things. Jimmy is not in Fightful to generate a gigantic profit. And fortunately for him, he's got a guy that knows how to lose him some money right here. So go over there, check it out, guys. The digital edition is up now. I'm sure eventually we might even release like a print version of the first issue just for keepsake, but thank you guys so much. This backstage report was longer than usual, but you know what? That's what happens when we launch a magazine, give a bunch of people more work, and I accidentally release a story well ahead of time. Thank you guys so much. All these things that I mentioned would not be possible without you guys. The support that you guys have shown us specifically over this past year, thank you. It means a lot. I appreciate you. We're out.